And when the tape ended, we were talking about the titles that you had.
Oh.
And initially, it was Secretary to President.
Secretary to President. And then it must have been about 1960. It was an administrative assistant.
Did your duties change at all during that time? Or?
Well, yeah, yes, quite a bit.
Okay. What did you...
I was given an office. I wasn't particularly happy about it, really, but I'm sure it was made with good intentions.
Uh-huh.
And I still did a lot of the same work, especially with the board and the board minutes and the board agenda, not the minutes. But Mr. Hanna proposed to me one day that he'd make me assistant to the president, and he said, you think about it. So I told him the next morning, I said, well, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, if there's one thing, Mr. Dennison is assistant to the president, and he wouldn't like it at all if I had the same title he did. So he made me administrative assistant.
Administrative.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
Were you involved at all in the Constitutional Convention and that?
Well, we did, the girl who worked with me and I did quite a lot of typing sometimes for them. Mm. If Mr. Hanna was in a hurry for something down there, he'd come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and hand me a bunch of paper like that and said, do you think you can have copies of this by the time I have to leave at 9? I said, well, we'll do the best we can. And so I'd parcel it out, and mm-hmm. we never failed him.
Hmm. So just within 1 hour you had that?
Well, I'd take a few pages and somebody else would take a few pages and we'd get it done.
Mm-hmm. We
called on the other offices to help out with things like that. But that didn't happen very often, just two or three times in my whole career, I think.
Did you have more contact or less contact with students after you had this change of title?
Probably less.
Less, okay. And what would you say would be your most important thing that you were working on when you were administrative assistant?
I can't think of a thing.
Other than the board, the board. And,
yeah, and of course I'd been doing that before.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think there was anything.
Yeah. Did that part of the job increase, do you think? The board taking more active role, or was that more work for you at the time?
No, mm-hmm. just about the same, really.
Okay. Yeah. Did you travel at all with President Hanna?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think I, the only time was when the board would meet someplace else, and mm-hmm. Murray Mercer and I would both go to the board meetings,
uh-huh.
and we met down at Gull Lake a few times. We met up in the Upper Peninsula once.
Uh-huh. Where was that you met?
Where did we go? Mm-hmm. We were up at the Sioux, uh-huh. I know, Sioux St. Marie, and... Hmm.
And that was, they had an official meeting up there?
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then they had one over the property that the university owned farther west.
What was by the name? Escanaba, or was it that far west?
It was, well, it was almost that far west, but a little bit, but north of that.
Excuse me.
Oh, if I had a map, I could tell you. It's been a long time since I've been there for Peninsula, too. Before the Oakland University was a separate school.
Uh-huh. What was the situation there? How was it that we got involved in that?
Oh, that was Mr. Hanna's great friendship with Sarah Van Hoosen Jones.
Okay.
No. Not. Sarah Van Hoosen Jones left her property to Michigan State, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Miss Matilda Wilson.
Okay.
And she was the one who made arrangements to leave their property to Michigan State University.
Oh. And did she live at Meadowbrook?
She lived at that Meadowbrook.
Was, okay. Mm-hmm. How were you involved at all with, we've heard several people have talked about Dr. Hanna's, his personal approach to either fundraising or bequests and that sort of thing. How were you involved in that?
Well, not in any way except to the letters and the telephone calls and mm-hmm. things like that, but he served on so many boards and learned to know so many people. And that's where they got the Kresge Foundation interested. And because he served on the Stanley Kresge was a, whether it's Kresge Foundation or some other board, and uh-huh. learned to know Mr. Hanna. And our people, I know Dean Milder was involved and some other folks, and they made three proposals to the Kresge Foundation for a grant, and they chose the art museum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that...
That was built? And then
that was built and started out as on a grant from the Kresge Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was great friends with the... Kellogg Foundation people.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. What's his name, Morris? The Kellogg Foundation.
Okay.
And then later on, one of our, the man who used to be in charge of 4-H on the campus, Russ Mobby, was president of the Kellogg Foundation. They've always been very generous.
He was on 4-H? Or in charge on...
He was in charge of 4-H in College of Agriculture.
Before he became...
He was a student, graduated from here. I remember uh-huh. when he was a student. He was uh-huh. an outstanding student.
Uh-huh.
And he's an outstanding man now.
I need to interview him. I had planned to. were there any other things that you could think about? Were his personal, Dr. Hanna's personal style...
Well, I don't know. I think he really made an impression on a lot of people with his intelligence and sincerity. And he made contacts that were very valuable to Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And
within state government and...
And like the Kellogg Foundation, the Kresge mm-hmm. Foundation. He served on quite a few boards. I used to... keep a card file of his appointments to different groups and how long he served.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned all that over to the archives when I left.
They've got all that.
So that ought to be there.
Yeah, I can look at it there.
I had it all on 3x5 cards. That was the way we filed in those days.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't keep track of it unless I could... go quickly to a file like that and see when it was he started to work on a board
mm-hmm.
and how long he had been a member of the boards.
Yeah.
But he made very valuable contacts that way mm-hmm. that benefited Michigan State. Does that record it too?
What? Oh, yes. I don't know how the transcriber will translate a bark. But what were some of the areas that you found that Dr. Hanna had either the some of the tough issues that you were aware of that he had to face? You mentioned before having to deal with students and when they had trouble with kicking him out mm-hmm. for drinking and that sort of thing. Did he handle disciplinary things personally?
No, They came to him last.
Oh, I see.
And but he said that he thought that they shouldn't be suspended without his having a chance to talk to them.
I see.
But I think students felt free to come and see him, mm-hmm. and so he did have a lot of students coming in. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Jim Hoffa came in to meet him. He was a very well-behaved young man.
Well, the younger.
Younger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's president of his father's organization now, though.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was a student here?
He was a student. Mm-hmm. And he... Nothing demanding about him at all. He's a rather pleasant young man.
Uh-huh.
Sat down and picked up a magazine and read it until Mr. Hanna was free and could see him.
Uh-huh. Were there any other areas that you know that were tough issues at that time that he had to deal with, that you were involved in?
Oh, well... He started out interested in athletics, you know,
mm-hmm.
and one of the first things he did was to change our football program at the University of Michigan from always playing at Ann Arbor to a home-and-home basis,
mm-hmm.
and that was hard to do, really was,
mm-hmm.
and he made all sorts of offers, and finally they came through and agreed to a home and home basis.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have Michigan State on the first game of the season because they could fill the stadium with Michigan State there.
In the stadium at Michigan? Or at
the stadium at Michigan.
At Michigan. Uh-huh.
Well, they always played at Michigan.
Uh-huh.
The first year I was working, mm-hmm. it was always at Michigan.
Thanks.
Did I get it?
Yep. Hey there. Okay. It's not too bright and too sunny. Cloudy day in Michigan. Were you involved in athletics? Did you go to any games?
Well, I started to go to the games. I got interested in it, too. I started to go to the football games and the basketball games.
You enjoyed both?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Still do.
Mm-hmm. What?
I have a record of having had season tickets for 62 years.
62 years. That must be a record here.
I went. Charlie Bachman was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Always went to the games.
And he was the coach before Biggie Munn?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any of the coaches. Charlie Bachman was the first coach I remember.
Uh-huh. And you met the other coaches after.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they were...
Yeah.
If you were the gatekeeper. What would you say was President Hanna's view on sports and how important it was? Was he competitive?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sure. He wasn't active in sports himself, mm-hmm. but he traveled with the team a lot, learned to know the players, and I think they had a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm. Basketball was they were both football and basketball.
Oh,
those
yes.
were important mm-hmm. in those mm-hmm. in,
and then
in
hockey
those years.
Too. He was interested in hockey, but then we didn't have facilities until much later for the hockey games.
Where did they play?
They played in Demonstration Hall.
Okay.
They had an ice rink in there, and there were so many columns and things that it was awfully hard to watch a hockey game.
Uh-huh.
And
and who was the early coach then? Was that Amo Bossoni or was it before Amo?
Amo Bossoni followed uh-huh. the one who was coach.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't meant
I
to
remember
be quiz,
when we hired Amo Bossoni and thought we were getting a great coach,
uh-huh.
and we
uh-huh.
did too.
Mm-hmm.
But who preceded him? I don't remember.
I didn't mean to. I can look that up. I shouldn't. Did you travel at all with the team, or?
Oh no.
No, just Mm-mm. It was home games that you went to.
No, just a home game. I did go to quite a few of the out of town games, but that was because Dorothy Miller was Big Imon's secretary and a friend of mine, and and he used to. We'd go to the games, and he'd give us tickets to the out of town games. We had, that was a lot of fun. We didn't know, I didn't have anything to do with the team.
Did you go to any, when they went to Rose Bowl or any of the postseason?
Oh yeah, I went to two Rose Bowls.
Okay, what years were those?
56 and, 54 and 56.
54 and 56. And was that your first time to the West Coast?
No, but it was my first time to a Rose Bowl game.
To a Rose Bowl.
I had been out to California once before, I guess, before the 54 game.
How would you say that, or would you say that the students changed during the course of the, that you saw the students in the years you were associated with Michigan State?
Not that much.
Not that much change.
I don't think so. I was advisor to Tower Guard for a few years, and learned to know some of the girls. Tower Guard now has both men and women in it.
When later in his career, when Dr. Hanna was leaving, was it a surprise to you that he left when he did, or not?
Not completely. In a way, I was surprised, because I didn't think he'd ever leave. But I wasn't completely surprised either, because he was very much interested in the work that they were doing with the USAID. And
what do you think, or how did he get an interest in that initially?
Well, I don't know whether you'd remember the old Marshall Plan under Harry Truman.
Well, I don't remember it personally, but I was born in 1950. But
before your time.
Right about the time it was going on.
Well, and Mr. Hanna was president of the Association of Land Grant Colleges and State Universities. And as president of that group, he had written a letter to President Truman proposing or suggesting how land-grant colleges could help in instituting the Marshall Plan, and how their staffs were well-trained for work like that. And I remember the letter real well. It was rather long letter, and he signed it as president of the Association of Land-Grant Colleges and State Universities. And that USAID program grew out of that. So he was interested in that from the beginning.
And that also stimulated his own personal experience or personal interest in international programs and study on campus?
I think so. And then, of course, he started the programs, overseas programs that we had in Vietnam for one place, and Nigeria, Brazil, and those programs were all terribly interesting. And I think for the most part, very well done.
Did he travel to those countries
to
look at the programs that were being set up
were
set up? So he was involved in that planning. I was aware more of some of the Vietnam, having spoken with Dean Smuckler.
Oh yes,
so I knew about that.
He would know a lot more about that than I do.
but
I remember the work there.
The Nigeria and the Brazil programs. I've got to find out.
Oh,
definitely more.
The Brazil program was very, very successful. Mm-hmm. And the Nigerian program was too, until Nigeria went to war. And of mm-hmm. course, I don't think Michigan State had anything to do with that. Mm-hmm.
But they were caught up in the
Civil War. And the buildings at the Nsukka were ruined, were bombed and ruined. And, mm-hmm. and I think maybe they've rebuilt them now. But mm-hmm. they had a very colorful man come from Nigeria to begin with. Uh-huh. And as I remembered, he stopped to see Mr. Hanna one day on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Azikiwi mm-hmm. was his name. A-Z-I-K-I-W-I, I think.
K-I-W-I?
Mm-hmm. And he'd been educated in England, and he was interested. He knew something about the land-grant philosophy and thought that something like that might be useful to the people in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So.
The retirement, when Dr. Hanna left, you'd been here for, 31 years?
31 years. I decided that it was too late for me to get used to working for somebody else. Uh-huh. It was a good idea just to get out. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did, and I was able to do it financially. So mm-hmm. I didn't have much, but I had enough to take care of myself.
Uh-huh. And you retired here in Lansing?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So and you've stayed here. How would you say, or what activities have you been involved in since your retirement?
Oh, for a couple of years I didn't do much of anything except. Mm-hmm. Take other people to the doctor or something like that. Mm-hmm. Wait on some elderly folks. I wasn't that elderly then. And then after a couple of years, I started to work as a volunteer at Sparrow Hospital and uh-huh. for the Red Cross. And then our Retirees Association used to help other retirees a lot with their health claim. Forms, and two or three of us helped with that, and that was real interesting. I learned a lot too. And then the federal government passed a law that the doctors had to submit the claims mm-hmm. directly. So since then, we haven't had anything to do with it.
With the paperwork.
With the paperwork.
So you helped out with the paperwork.
But a lot of the paperwork was so bad and so heavy that a lot of retirees just didn't bother with it.
Yeah.
Just paid their own medical bills. Mm-hmm. I helped Malcolm Trout and Mrs. Trout. I don't know whether you know them or not.
Mm-hmm. Food science?
Probably know.
Mm-hmm. Just know of him.
Well, Malcolm Trout was the one who developed the homogenizing of milk mm-hmm. and was known internationally. And she was a piano teacher, college graduate. They came from Ames here, I uh-huh. think. And he had diabetes and had a lot of, one foot amputated, and then I think they finally amputated the second foot. Uh-huh. And so he had a lot of health claim forms. And I think I went out to help her. It was awfully hard for me to go through the material and see what was there. But she must have had a stack of papers about that high.
Almost and three feet?
Oh, uh-huh. goodness. I said to her, well, would you mind if I'd take these home and sort them out, see what I can do with them? Mm-hmm. And so I did. I worked here hard on them. And, you know, we got so much money back, she couldn't believe it. But claims that she had never submitted. And, and they just don't know how to do it. So mm-hmm. it works much better now because the doctors have to submit it.
Under Medicare and Medicaid.
Medicare, mm-hmm. and then the supplementary insurance. Uh-huh. which the university provides for us.
Did there was would you talk a little bit about that in terms of the benefits as a staff member? I haven't interviewed very many staff members. Was this during your career? Where was there any change?
Well, yes,
in terms of benefits, pay, that sort of thing.
When I first started to work, they had a retirement plan which was non-contributory.
Okay.
And it amounted to, I think at that time it was $3,000 a year when you retired. But, and then Mr. May was treasurer and controller, and they started the TIA CREF program. And part of the benefit of that was that a staff member could earn retirement here. And then if he decided to take a job at another college or university, he would take his benefits with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had an option, I had an option of joining the TIA CREF program or not, mm-hmm. or staying with the old. And I asked Mr. May, what should I do? And he said, I think you should join. It would be beneficial to you. And it certainly has been. It was wonderful advice. Because when I first retired, I would get, $200 a month from them, which seemed good to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's up to $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
A little more than that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's just the value of it has just increased that much. Mm-hmm.
No, Dr. Wharton was the chair.
I know he was.
So there is an MSU connection with that.
He
seemed to be very pleased when I interviewed him, because everywhere he'd go, people were very pleased with what he had done or what had happened under his tenure
at
TIA CREF.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Benefiting a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Were there any, so this, do you remember when that change occurred, approximately?
TIA CREF.
When they made that switch for the retirement?
I believe it was 1955.
Okay, 55.
Uh-huh. And also, in the early years, people at the paid from federal or state funds were not eligible for Social Security.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't have a large investment in that either.
Mm-hmm. How about health care at that time, health insurance?
We didn't have any.
The university didn't provide any at that time.
Luckily, I didn't need any. You go to the doctor, you pay your bill.
Simplest form.
But now I don't know how many million a year they invest in mm-hmm. health care.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know it's
a major,
terrific.
Major commitment, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you continue volunteering at Sparrow?
I did.
Was it at Sparrow?
Yes.
Okay.
I was there 13 years and enjoyed it too.
And then you were also involved with the retirees, a formal group of retirees?
Yes, we have a retirees association
and
meet once a month during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the retirees office for several years, once a week,
mm-hmm.
Half a day.
You must have known everyone.
I used to know everyone, mm-hmm. but not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got interested in learning something about a computer was in the retiree's office, because mm-hmm. we had one, and mm-hmm. it was a big puzzle to me.
Mm-hmm. What that must have seemed like quite a change from
when the old typewriter
I remember making corrections on a carbon that was always terrible, and the nice thing about the computer is
you make the corrections before you run the copy off.
So you have email now?
I have email now.
I suspect you type faster than 13 words a minute.
Yes, I hope I do. I've slowed down a lot, though, from what I used to be able to do.
Did you have any other contacts with any of the other presidents, like Adams or
Oh.
Or the Hortons or anything like that?
Well, just, I met them. Mm-hmm. And I met DiBiagio, too. Uh-huh. And they were all very...
Were you involved with Dr. Hanna any later on in his retirement?
No, not very much, except okay. I always heard from him.
Okay,
and
I see.
The family. And uh-huh. I still hear from his children at Christmas time.
Uh-huh. I talked with his grandson, who was interviewing people, Patrick.
Oh, did you talk to Patrick?
I did talk to Patrick.
He was going to come and see me last year, but he never did.
Uh-huh.
And he plays the band, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, yes. I know he is a musician. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about tape recorders and taping. And he was interviewing many people that knew Dr. Hanna. Uh-huh. So when I next see him, I'll tell him to come and see you.
Well, you tell him that he called me, and I think what I should have done was to say, come out right now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I didn't, but I could have. Mm-hmm. Would have liked to have seen him. But
well, I'll mention, I've got his phone number. I'll give
all
him,
right.
I'll give him a call. And
you tell him I'd like to see him.
Okay.
Before he graduates.
In looking back at your career at Michigan State, did you anticipate when you came